Welcome back. I'm Logan, your host for the Daily Bible Reading Podcast, where we are journeying through the Bible chronologically, taking it one day at a time.
Today is day 247, and I appreciate everyone's patience with me and their encouragement over these last few days. As we've been looking at idolatry, it's made me stop and look and examine my motives in this podcast. The last thing that I want to do is turn this into a show about me. How despicable it would be to steal God's glory from His Word and somehow put it on mine. So I'm going to keep my focus on His Word. We're going to pray as we get started, and then I will read Ezekiel chapter 24 through 27 today. But my comments are going to be greatly shortened moving forward. I'm not going to give a blow-by-blow breakdown of everything, but instead, I'll pull out a handful of verses that really stood out to me, and I'll talk about it for a few moments. I think by doing this, I should be able to keep up the pace and even catch up, though there may still be a Saturday here or there that I'll pause to be with my family or my church instead. Hope everyone can understand that. With all that being said, let's get started with a word of prayer. Almighty God, immortal, invisible, God only wise, we come today as hungry men and women to the banquet hall of your word. Allow us to feed on your word, for man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I pray that you would keep our hearts pure and holy in your sight through the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. We know that in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. But we stand ready to condemn ourselves when we fail you. Remind us that though we may be faithless, you are still faithful, and you will finish the good work that you have started in us. Cast down our idols. Cause them to bow with their faces in the dirt like Dagon before your glory. Break off their heads and their hands to tell us that our idols have no power or ability to help us, so that we may rest in you as the God of our help. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we have four chapters here today in Ezekiel, and we are on the downhill side of the book. We're going to see yet another account of the siege and destruction of Jerusalem, as well as a personal traumatic event in Ezekiel's life, and a series of woes that he pronounces on the nations as he declares the coming day of the Lord. I'm ready if you are. Let's go. Ezekiel chapter 24. In the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, write down the name of this day, this very day. The king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day, and utter a parable to the rebellious house, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Set on the pot, set it on, pour in water also, put in the pieces of meat, all the good pieces, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with choice bones, take the choicest one of the flock, pile the logs under it, boil it well. Seethe also its bones in it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose corrosion is in it, and whose corrosion has not gone out of it. Take out of it piece after piece, without making any choice, for the blood she has shed is in her midst. She put it on the bare rock. She did not pour it out on the ground, to cover it with dust. To rouse my wrath, to take vengeance, I have set on the bare rock the blood she has shed, that it may not be covered. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I also will make the pile great. Heap on the logs, kindle the fire, boil the meat well, mix in the spices, and let the bones be burned up. Then set it empty upon the coals, that it may become hot, and its copper may burn, and its uncleanness may be melted in it, its corrosion consumed. She has wearied herself with toil. Its abundant corrosion does not go out of it, into the fire with its corrosion. On account of your unclean lewdness, because I would have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed from your uncleanness, You shall not be cleansed any more, till I have satisfied my fury upon you. I am the Lord. I have spoken. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. I will not spare. I will not relent. According to your ways and your deeds, you will be judged, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, behold, I am about to take the light of your eyes away from you at a stroke. Yet you shall not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put your shoes on your feet. Do not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And on the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things mean for us, that you are acting thus? Then I said to them, The word of the Lord came to me. Say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the delight of your eyes, and the yearning of your soul, and your sons and your daughters, whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. Your turbans shall be on your heads, and your shoes on your feet. You shall not mourn or weep, but you shall rot away in your iniquities, and groan to one another. Thus shall Ezekiel be to you a sign, according to all that he has done, you shall do. When this comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God. As for you, son of man, surely on the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes, and their soul's desire, and also their sons and daughters, on that day a fugitive will come to you to report to you the news. On that day your mouth will be opened to the fugitive, and you shall speak and be no longer mute. So you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. Chapter 25. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, Because you said, Aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned, and over the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and over the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am handing you over to the people of the east for a possession, and they shall set their encampments among you, and make their dwellings in your midst. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. I will make Rabbah a pasture for camels, and Ammon a fold for flocks. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, and rejoiced with all the malice within your soul against the land of Israel, therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you, and will hand you over as plunder to the nations, and I will cut you off from the peoples, and will make you perish out of the countries. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Because Moab and Seir said, Behold, the house of Judah is like all the other nations, therefore I will lay open the flank of Moab from the cities. From its cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim. I will give it along with the Ammonites to the people of the east as a possession, that the Ammonites may be remembered no more among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Because Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah, and has grievously offended in taking vengeance on them, therefore, thus says the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Edom, and cut off from it man and beast. And I will make it desolate, from Teman even to Dedan, they shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger, and according to my wrath, and they shall know my vengeance, declares the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, Because the Philistines acted revengefully, and took vengeance with malice of soul, to destroy in never-ending enmity, therefore thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites, and destroy the rest of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them, with wrathful rebukes. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I lay my vengeance upon them. Chapter 26. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, Aha, the gate of the peoples is broken, it has swung open to me, I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you. As the sea brings up its waves, they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. And I will scrape her soil from her and make her a bare rock. She shall be in the midst of the sea, a place for the spreading of nets. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she shall become plunder for the nations, and her daughters on the mainland shall be killed by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, and with horsemen, and a host of many soldiers. He will kill with the sword your daughters on the mainland. He will set up a siege wall against you, and throw up a mound against you, and raise a roof of shields against you. He will direct the shock of his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. His horses will be so many that their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses he will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your mighty pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. Your stones and timber and soil they will cast into the midst of the waters. And I will stop the music of your songs, and the sound of your lyres shall be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for the spreading of nets. You shall never be rebuilt. For I am the Lord. I have spoken, declares the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, Will not the coastlands shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when slaughter is made in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones, and remove their robes, and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, and tremble every moment, and be appalled at you. And they will raise a lamentation over you, and say to you, How you have perished, you who were inhabited from the seas! O city renowned, who was mighty on the seas! She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlands that are on the sea are dismayed at your passing. For thus says the Lord God, When I make you a city laid waste, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you, and the great waters cover you, then I will make you go down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you to dwell in the world below, among ruins from of old, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited, but I will set beauty in the land of the living. I will bring you to a dreadful end, and you shall be no more. Though you be sought for, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. Chapter 27. The word of the Lord came to me. Now you, son of man, raise a lamentation over Tyre, and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrances to the sea, merchant of the peoples, to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders made perfect your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks in Bashan they made your oars. They made your deck of pines from the coast of Cyprus, inlaid with ivory. Of fine embroidered linen from Egypt was your sail, serving as your banner. Blue and purple from the coast of Elisha was your awning. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your skilled men, O Tyre, were in you. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and her skilled men were in you, caulking your seams. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in you, to barter for your wares. Persia and Lud and Put were in your army as your men of war. They hung the shield and helmet in you. They gave you splendor. Men of Arvad and Helek were on your walls all around, and men of Gamud were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made perfect your beauty. Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth of every kind. Silver, iron, tin, and lead they exchanged for your wares. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech traded with you. They exchanged human beings and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. From Beth Togarma they exchanged horses, war horses, and mules for your wares. The men of Dedan traded with you. Many coastlands were your own special markets. They brought you in payment ivory tusks and ebony. Syria did business with you because of your abundant goods. They exchanged for your wares emeralds, purple embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and ruby. Judah and the land of Israel traded with you. They exchanged for your merchandise wheat of Minnith, meal, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus did business with you for your abundant goods because of your great wealth of every kind, wine of Helbon and wool of Sahar and casks of wine from Uzal. They exchanged for your wares, wrought iron, cassia, and calamus were bartered for your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your favored dealers in lambs, rams, and goats. In these they did business with you. The traders of Sheba and Rama traded with you. They exchanged for your wares the best of all kinds of spices and all precious stones and gold. Haran, Kene, Eden, traders of Sheba, Asher, and Chilmad trade with you. In your market, these traded with you in choice garments, in clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of colored material, bound with cords and made secure. The ships of Tarshish traveled for you with your merchandise. So you were filled and heavily laden in the heart of the seas. Your rowers have brought you out into the high seas. The east wind has wrecked you in the heart of the seas. Your riches, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners and your pilots, your caulkers, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are with you, with all your crew that is in your midst, sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your fall. At the sound of the cry of your pilots, the countryside shakes, and down from their ships come all who handle the oar. The mariners and all the pilots of the sea stand on the land and shout aloud over you and cry out bitterly. They cast dust on their heads and wallow in ashes. They make themselves bald for you and put sackcloth on their waist, and they keep weeping over you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. In their wailing, they raise a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre, like one destroyed in the midst of the sea? When your wares came from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. With your abundant wealth and merchandise, you enriched the kings of the earth. Now, you are wrecked by the seas. In the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your crew in your midst have sunk with you. All the inhabitants of the coastland are appalled at you. And the hair of their kings bristles with horror. Their faces are convulsed. The merchants among the people hiss at you. You have come to a dreadful end, and shall be no more forever.
Hi, Logan. My name is Babu Biko, listening in from Nairobi, Kenya, and I just wanted to say you're doing an amazing job, and the podcast has been a blessing to me and my wife. We can't go a day without listening to it, so just keep up the good work. keep sharing the messages. I really love the teaching. I love the Bible reading. And it has given me motivation to also read and try to do the Bible in 1 year. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
The part of the reading that stood out to me today might be obvious. God told Ezekiel that he was going to take away his wife, and then told him not to publicly mourn. There's this prevalent conception among Christians today that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And even though we may steer clear of its excesses, like God loves you and wants to give you a Cadillac and a mansion by the country club, the health and wealth gospel still influences our thinking. We tend to believe that God's loving plan for our lives must surely include things like reasonable health, a job, a spouse, a decent standard of living. And if any of these things are absent from our lives, then we tend to place the responsibility not on God, but on the forces of evil in the world. God wants us to have these things, we theorize, but we're caught in the crossfire of this cosmic battle. However, nowhere in his word does God promise us such an easy ride through life, nor does he pass off this responsibility on others. He is the sovereign Lord, which means that even on the battleground, the buck stops with him. Ezekiel's wife dies not because God is powerless to prevent such a thing from happening, but because God has a significant purpose to accomplish through that evil also. It's a painful providence for the prophet to bear, but nonetheless, he must receive this bitter cup from the hand of his loving father. Job, another Old Testament figure equally tormented by God, put it succinctly, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" That God takes such dramatic action to highlight the situation is a measure of the seriousness of Judah's sin and the pain level of the coming judgment, both for Judah and for Judah's God. But what God asks his people to undergo for his sake is no more than what he himself is willing to go through for their sake. His beloved son, Jesus, was nailed to the cross, the ultimate act of wicked men. But this itself is nothing other than God's set purpose. God has the right to do with his creatures as he sees fit. It may not have been the course of events that we would have chosen, but that's hardly the point. The point is that God's purposes are determined with a wisdom that is above our wisdom and on the basis of thoughts that are above our thoughts. Submitting to the will of such a good God, who did not spare his own son but freely gave him up for us, is no stoic fatalism, but it is the freeing dependence of a trusting child. God has the right because he was willing to give up into the hands of sinful men the delight of his eyes, his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his permission for Jesus to be beaten and tortured and mocked. What is more, as Jesus hung on that cross, God himself did not show him mercy, but instead poured out the full weight of his wrath over our sins on him. The consuming fire of God's wrath against sin was kindled on Jesus, without pity and without holding back. Yet, just as the deepest night for Jerusalem is the beginning of the end of God's wrath on his people and the turning point to hope in Ezekiel's message, so also the death of Jesus on the cross is the turning point in the history of redemption. The blackness of Good Friday causes the light of Easter Sunday to break out with fresh power for Christ's disciples. The taking away of their Lord, the delight of their eyes to lay him in a tomb, paradoxically is the means by which they may be enabled to enjoy him forever. Since God did not spare his own son, surely he has the right to ask us not to spare even the delight of our eyes, whatever that is. We should be willing to give it up freely for the sake of spreading the good news and for the sake of the glory of this great God. Nor is it enough merely to be willing. Sometimes God actually takes from us that which is most precious to us. In those moments, as we are enabled by his grace to say, "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord," We become living signs to the world around us of God's grace and glory. We become living demonstrations of the fact that we don't regard God as our accomplice, whose job it is to ensure that we live comfortable and fulfilling lives. Rather, He is our Lord, who has bought us with a price and owns us and everything we have. Moreover, we do not mourn as the world mourns, for in the midst of our sadness and real sense of painful loss, we know the assurance that just as our Lord has risen, so also will all His people. But the cross also reminds us of the certainty of judgment on all who refuse its offer of life. It is this reality that lends urgency to our proclamation of the gospel. For us, there is still time. The end of the world has not yet been pronounced. Our tongues have not been silenced. Far from it, we have been given a gospel to share with every creature under heaven, that there is one name given to people by which they may yet be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. We have been commanded to preach the good news to all freely, that many may come to Christ and experience His forgiveness and His mercy. However, we must never forget that the time we have been given is not unlimited, and the final judgment announced repeatedly in the Scriptures will one day become a reality, a joyful reality for all of us who are in Christ, but a fearful reality for those who remain outside.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope this has been encouraging to you. If so, please let me know by visiting the links that you find under the Connect With Us section in the show notes. I'm a simple man and I could use the encouragement. If you've been blessed enough that you would like to support the podcast, I would greatly appreciate that as well. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/DBRpodcast to make either a one-time gift or to sign up for a monthly recurring membership gift. Until tomorrow, keep reading and keep worshiping.